The following podcast contains strong language and is not suitable for young listeners or workplace environment.
You're listening to FatCast. We've upped our game. Up yours.
Hey, welcome to the FatCast. I'm Matt Loader, and I'm completely fucking wasted by now.
And I'm Josh Look, and I'm very surprised I've never seen Matt naked. In fact, I'm surprised he's not naked right now.
I'm trying.
Yeah. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about Legend of Dritz, Battles of Westeros, Eaten by Zombies, Skyrim, a little bit of Torchlight, some Battlestar, a Pauly Shore movie extravaganza, of all things.
We are going to be wheezing so much juice.
Yes. Fire and Ice, the old Dune flick as well. Matt's trip to New York Comic Con, which is pretty cool. Listener emails. That's a new one. Listener emails. Say it like that. Kickstarter. Matt wants to talk about Kickstarter.
Mostly just complain about it.
Pretty much. Just bitch about it. Will Kenyon's book.
Yeah, check them out.
Do it.
Fuck if I know what they're called. Yeah. I don't remember.
And some other bullshit that we typically talk about. So
to kick things off here, we're going to start talking about the Legend of Dritz. Am I saying that right?
Dritz.
Wow.
I think it's Dritz.
I think that's the first time I've ever said it right.
Right.
You know, whatever.
It doesn't matter.
I'm no Aure Salvatore, so. We can't all have his real grasp of language.
Yeah, his
mastery.
Command of vocabulary. And.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Consonants.
He really
owns consonants. It's a real master. The vowels, working on it. Consonants, though, man. That dude.
And look at him. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five consonant in Dritz's name.
Well, and what's really impressive, too, is he goes after the underground consonants. It's not all,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
It's not all R's and S's.
No.
He's got Z's and Q's.
A lot of Z's. Yep. Yep. I mean,
V's.
He's got to be a fucking beast at Scrabble.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, well, because he just throws down whatever letters he has and says,
"Oh, I just made a D&D name."
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's probably how he named most
he
of
just
it.
Throws the blocks on the table.
Well, that's how,
it makes
no,
that
no.
sound, too.
That's how, well, he gets a, if he gets a whole sack, that's how he writes the novels. Takes one of those. Actually, he goes a little higher class and gets one of those magnetic poetry sets.
Nice.
Throws it at a moving car.
Yep.
And then
follows it down the road on his bicycle.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Dictating to a tape recorder.
He's the wordsmith of our generation.
Really.
Clearly.
Speaks directly to me.
The brooding
dark elf inside us all is really, you know, really.
I read that book, I think, when I was 16. I could relate to it, the first one. I didn't. No, I was like, you know, oh, I'm an outsider.
You're like, yeah, I'm totally an elf.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah, dark elf. Dark elf. I'm a regular elf.
Dual wield.
No. I wear Doc Martens like the Misfits.
Yep.
Dritz totally likes
Dritz
the Misfits.
Totally likes Misfits.
But he hates Michael Graves. Dritz liked D&D before it was cool.
We gotta talk about the game, man. Totally fucking lost.
Well, this is good because I can sum it up very quickly and easily, actually. So, Dritz is the newest game in the Wizards of the Coast D&D board game adventure board game line.
Already a formidable line.
Yeah,
already awesome.
First one, Castle Ravenloft,
was pretty
awesome.
Great. Yep.
Awesome. Wrath of Ashardalon. Even better. Really refine the formula.
Mm-hmm.
Dritz, hey, guess what? It's even better.
Yeah.
Whoa, big fucking shocker, right?
Right.
So it's, you know, more of the same kind of stuff. A lot of new monsters, new scenarios, new characters.
Mm-hmm.
There's 8 playable characters in this
one.
Wow,
that's awesome.
I think it's 8, if I remember correctly. Because there's all the, like, sort of main characters. Like, Regis Philbin, the halfling. And, you know, Quargelnorf, the dwarf. And, you know, like all these characters that you care about if you're 14 and really dark. Having no affection for the characters,
right.
They're still pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, you know, good classes, good, mm-hmm. you know, sort of mm-hmm. like classic iconic types, halfling rogue and all that kind of thing. And, there are new mechanics associated with them. There's stances now, which is a cool little thing that you can do. You can enter into different stances,
right.
You know, different triggering effects and all that, and gives you a little bit more freedom when you're playing characters. The characters are definitely pretty badass comparatively, but so are some of the monsters, you know, mm-hmm. that you pull in the deck. There's a couple like sort of mini bosses almost now that are pretty badass, which is great. The treasure is the only thing that's not, I don't
really
think,
because I think that was the shining point of Shardalem.
Yeah, exactly.
Particularly over Ravenloft, you know. I mean, it was Ravenloft. I very rarely was ever excited to get a treasure.
Well,
whereas
gone,
every time I drew treasure in a Charlotte, it was always.
Well, I think the big thing is
one-time
use versus permanent items.
Right, yeah.
Or even one-time use items, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Immediate effects, rather, versus one-time use. You know, and Ravenloft had all this kind of stuff that was like, heal a hit point. It's like, well, I'm not fucking hurt. Like, doesn't
yeah,
help.
It
know?
Doesn't help, right.
And Shardalon really fixed that by giving you stuff. But Dritz goes back to a lot of kind of, you know, worthless effects, treasure. So that's a little disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that, you know, they're overall very compatible.
That's good.
Except the Shardalon in Ravenloft was castle walls. Sort
right.
of like dungeony, you know, finished stone. Whereas these are more caverns. But the way,
so they look different?
They look different. But see, the way I've been dealing with that is you... sort of in whatever main stack, you know, depending on what scenario you want to play, however you want to play it, you know, you start in the finished walls. But then you get to one that's like, I forget, if it's like it's like a ladder down kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you draw that, then you switch to caverns, and it's like, you know, you find a crumbled passageway. You know, you can make it work.
Well, it's cool that they have variety, because I know that variety is a big knock against the game with some folks, but, you know, those people are also idiots.
Yeah, I mean, it's I definitely really, really like it. I mean, I really like the other two games, and it's...
Shardalem, you know what, man, I really like Shardalem, but I've recently been really wanting to go back to Castle Ravenloft. I think thematically Ravenloft is probably the best. And the other thing that really aggravates me about Shardalem is there's an abundance of those guys that are guards that just keep calling more guys.
Which is cool, I think.
It's
I think
cool, that's but, I mean, after a while, I mean, like, I pull three or four guards in a row, which seems to always fucking happen.
I guess you got bad luck. I don't know.
Yeah. Don't play with me.
Yeah.
Terrible.
But anyway, Dritz, pick it up. Like, if you at all like the other games and are, you know, not an idiot... Right.
Or if you're a dark teenager who lives in the caverns beneath
Get this for your nephew.
Yep.
You know, the one that everyone's a little worried about. He'll definitely appreciate it.
Is it cheaper too?
I think it's the same.
Really?
I don't know, MSRP 65 or something. I don't know.
I thought it was cheaper.
I honestly have no idea. I got my copy for
I don't pay attention to that.
You know, I didn't
I
buy
see
mine,
a game
so.
I want to buy it.
Yeah. I didn't
sort of like that.
I didn't buy it. I you know. Did my wizard work.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Your wizard work.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about Battles of Westeros a little bit?
Yeah, sure. I just got it
this week. Really late to it, but I've played it twice now. And aside from some major gripes about the components, I think that it's awesome. It is, hands down, it's another game in, I mean, like I say, I'm late to it, so everyone probably already knows. It's another game in the Command & Colors series, in the tradition of Command & Colors Ancients and Memoir 44 and the Krabby Battle Lore, Battle Cry, I think that's what it's called.
Battle Cry.
Civil War one.
Yeah,
Battle Cry. It's kind of like it's vastly restructured.
Well, this one's definitely a really sort of different. I know that there's some...
it's really different.
I think there's a little bad blood, is my understanding, between, you know, Mr. Richard and the Fantasy Flight. So, I don't know.
Well, you know, I'm sorry, but I think that it's clearly fired every other game in the series for me. I can finally trade away Command & Colors Ancients, which I, before this,
really?
Thought was the best. Yeah. Command & Colors Ancients is really good.
Yes,
and
it is.
Ancients is more serious, I think.
I really like Memoir 44 for what it is. I really like the Overlord, where you get like six dudes, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's fun. I've had a lot of fun playing that. But
it's all right.
yeah, Battles of Westeros does a lot of things that I think are going to make, you know, I mean, like, I think everybody kind of likes what the game is on paper, but maybe in execution they don't always like it. I know it's kind of a love-hate relationship for me. I like what the series is all about, but at the same time, it's just like, it's bullshit when my full unit of, like, red dudes gets wiped out in one lucky roll. You know, the odds in Battles of Westeros, and they're now using eight-sided dice where the odds are different, that's much less likely to happen. So,
yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I really like it.
No more flanks, there's no more, I'm never stuck.
The leaders is really interesting.
Yeah, the leaders is great. It has nothing to do with A Song of Ice and Fire.
Well, I think it does, I think it feels, you know.
Very little.
Reasonably.
And it kind of has its own scenario generation, too.
Yeah, I mean,
definitely adds some value. So, yeah, Battles of Westeros, late to the game, but definitely excited to play more of it and get farther into, you know, what else the game has to offer.
Good, good.
Another game that I've been playing, it's a new deck builder, which combines one overused genre in gaming at the moment with one overused theme at the moment, and that's zombies. The game is Eaten by Zombies.
Doesn't feel cash-in-y at all.
No, of course not. So cash-in-y aside, it's a pretty awesome game when you get down to it. Plays 2 to 4 people. And, yeah, you're all survivors, like in the 1950s. It has this cool 1950s style artwork. Your starter deck is the same stuff, but the artwork in them is different, so it's kind of like you're all playing different characters. And you basically, on paper, when you hear someone explain it to you, you think, oh, this is going to be like Thunderstone. But when you play it, you realize it's very different, because you basically have two options on your turn. It's either fight or flee. And if you successfully do either of those, then you buy more cards. And what you're trying to do in this one is that you're trying to not lose cards, because if you ever unsuccessfully fight or flee, you're going to lose cards, and your deck actually gets smaller. So that creates a lot of tension, because you're starting to shuffle your deck, and you're like, oh shit, I only have like 5 cards left in my deck, and that's not enough. So when you run out of cards, you actually turn into a zombie, and then you will then play against the other players. And you'll be trying to go for a zombie win, where all the zombie players will win the game. Does some really different stuff with the genre. It's got way more interaction. There's way, way, way more fuck you-itude, which I know is really big with the people I play with. So that's probably why we've enjoyed it as much.
I pretty much only play with people that like fucking.
Right. There's a lot of fucking in this game. It's really pretty brutal sometimes. Another big difference in this one is that you don't, when you buy new cards, right, you put them in your hand. So you're like preparing for your next turn. You're like trying to guess what you're going to draw. It adds a lot of tension, and I think it's fantastic. I got a couple knocks against the game though. The first one is the fucking rule book is a mess.
Well, who wrote it?
I don't know. But
no, well, yeah, you do. What's his name?
I don't know.
Max Headroom? Who designed this one?
He stutters and shit when he's writing. Max Holiday.
Holiday. Okay.
First game by Max Holiday.
Because that's his
real name. I want to read you a little sentence here. I'm going to read you some fine poetry here.
Papa Josh.
Play, attack, or draw cards from your hand. Okay, I get that. Additional attack or draw cards drawn under instructions from cards played may also lay down in the same turn. Digest that for a little while, all right?
I mean, it's very clear.
It's very clear.
Very clear.
Very clear.
So we got a big old FAQ is bumping on this one, huh?
Yeah, no, I mean, like, the second edition rulebook was already out before the game came out.
So FAQ, the FAQ number one question is...
The FAQ is a new rulebook.
What are the rules? Wait a minute.
Wait. How do you play this? Even with the second edition rulebook, you're probably going to play it wrong the first couple times you play it. In fact, my wife and I were playing it, and we were like, I can't even review this game, because the game lasted, like, 3 minutes. Huh? We were losing that quickly. Listen, the other knock
the,
I have
some
is
some
that
the best things in life only last 3 minutes, Josh.
Right, I'm well aware. Well aware of that fact. 27 years old, already learning the hard lessons in life. So, the other knock I have against it is the zombie rules are actually pretty boring. It's pretty boring to be a zombie. It's a cool idea, but it isn't really implemented very well. And if you're not paying attention, it's kind of easily broken if you're a zombie. I mean, like, you got to know how the game works, and I'm not going to totally get into it, but basically, if you're allowing certain cards to be in the out in the open for everyone to grab, the zombies can very easily win every time. In fact, I don't see how they couldn't win. But on the other hand, as a two-player game, it's fucking phenomenal because the zombie thing isn't in there at all, and you have a really awesome 20-minute tops deck builder that is really different, lots of interaction. So overall, you know, I'd probably give it like a 3 out of 5, you know, if we're going to go by that scale. So, Eaten by Zombies, whatever reservations you might have about the theme or whatever, I'd say check it out because it's actually pretty awesome.
So I'm going to make some wild speculation on the things I was thinking about when I was not listening to you for the last minute.
Okay.
So it's Mayday Games, right?
Yes.
Nowhere on the back of these credits does it say Seth Hyatt. And he seems like the sort of dude...
Maybe a playtester. I don't know.
No, no. Well, no, because Max Holiday is clearly a made-up name for Seth Hyatt, who is, in fact, the designer of this.
It's an interesting theory. Yeah,
someone thrown out there. Back and to the left.
Yeah. It's not bad.
I think it's true. I'm going to look it up.
Someone, you won't be able to find it.
I don't know.
It's a big cover-up.
It might be on the internet.
Yep.
We'll check it out. We'll check it out. But that's my story. My scoop.
That's kind of it for our board gaming for this episode, right?
So you guys can turn it off now.
Turn it off. We're about to talk about video games and shit.
All right, welcome back, ladies.
Yeah, hey. Let's talk about Skyrim. And by talk about Skyrim, it's like rub it in Matt's face that he's not playing Skyrim.
I will be.
You will be. I know you will be.
I will be, just not
You're going to love it.
Although I will say that Oblivion kind of sucked.
Oblivion, I was really into it when it first came out, and I, you know...
There's a lot of cool stuff going
on,
but it actually sucks. And it doesn't help that it looks like all the character models are wax melted over, like, wooden mannequins from the 1400s.
Not the case in Skyrim.
Yeah,
character models are really good. You're grubby as fuck. Like, you have dirt. Like, that's one of the things you can set in your character creation.
Is how
dirty you look. I think that's awesome. In short, Bethesda.
Is that how you say that?
Bethesda, that's how I say it.
It's not Bethesda?
I don't know. Well, either or, whoever they are, they've really taken what they did before, and that's like try to entice you with the idea that exploring a big open world is cool. They've taken that and they've perfected it by rewarding you for exploring that big open world at every turn. That's the thing that I keep running into a game, is that I keep going on the main quest, and like in Oblivion and every other game I've played in the series, I get distracted by cool looking shit in the forest, you know? So I'll be like, oh, I'll go check this fucking baloney out, right? So, and then the next thing you know, it's like 5 fucking hours later, and I'm like, I haven't done anything. I've accomplished nothing. I've just walked into this, you know, cave or dungeon or whatever.
Probably done some murdering.
Yeah, right, probably. Pretty much every turn that I've had in Skyrim so far is that at the beginning of that, it's always some dude or someone, you know, outside that has a quest for me to do in that spot. So he'll be like, you know, like this morning I was playing and I was like, oh, there's a cool looking, you know, area in the mountains there. I'm going to go up. I go up there and there's a dude that has camp and he's like, oh, he's like a chicken shit, right? And he's like, my family's tomb is in here, and there's a necromancer in here. Will you help me get the necromancer out of here because he's desecrating my, you know, my family's resting place?
And
so I went
in
there and I killed
vampire.
The fuck out of the necromancer. So, and then he rewards me. So it's awesome like that. And the storyline, I mean, like the side quest stories are really good. The main story is pretty awesome.
So there's a little more structure to the exploration. Yeah, so you can still go buck wild, go all around, but you find something and you feel.
Exactly.
Because we're idiots, is basically what it is. We need that, like.
We need to be rewarded.
That stimulus,
yeah. Exactly. There's no more acrobatics. There's no more athletics. So no more running, no more jumping. I mean, you still can do those things, but you won't be rewarded for it. There's no classes. You make it up as you go along.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Yep.
The more you do something, the better
you're
at it.
The more you do something, the better you're at it. That remains, but you don't need to pick a class. You just pick your race in the beginning of the game, and that's it. Trying to think what else is awesome in there.
It's awesome. I mean, that's kind of, I think, basically
you get,
like,
oh, they added a shout system, which I've had a lot of fun with. You can shout these, like, magic words at people. Like, every time you kill a dragon, you earn a new shout that you can use, and it's kind of like I have the voice from Dune.
That's
you know?
Cool.
Yeah.
Like, back away?
Back away. Or no, I just shout.
Well, you
just, it's
I mean,
like in
what
the,
happens?
Like, and then I force them to, like, fucking get knocked backwards.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the voice.
What's yeah, that was, like,
Skyrim.
Suggesting?
It's,
yeah.
I'm only 5 hours in, which is, nothing.
Yeah,
small
so,
potatoes.
So how are you reviewing this? You should have left
I'm
that
just
part
talking
out.
About it. I mean, like, I think I've got a pretty good
yeah,
idea
really
of
reviewed.
What the game's all about.
We don't stand behind anything we say, so.
Well, you know, whatever. Maybe I'll talk about it more later.
Yeah,
but
you will, because I'll talk about it.
You will.
One thing I have to say that I'm really glad is that Mass Effect 3 got pushed back.
I am glad because it was originally slated.
I literally
slated.
Would have had to call in sick
yeah.
for a long time.
Yeah, it was originally slated to come out on the same day as Skyrim.
Yeah.
I would not have been able to make that decision.
No.
Well, I would have, and it probably would have been Mass Effect 3.
Well, of course, because it's going to be
yeah, it's
amazing.
Gonna be
I mean,
fucking
it's, you know,
best game ever.
Probably.
Yeah.
So real quick, I just want to... I've been playing a lot of Torchlight. I went back, been playing it. I had it on Steam, played it on the PC.
Fucking love it.
Got it on 360. It was on sale. It came out like over the summer or whatever, but
yeah.
I went back in and
20
been playing
bucks
that,
well
and
spent.
It's still,
I
yeah,
love
it's,
that game.
It's still a great game.
Yep.
Still awesome.
I don't know what it is about mindless hack and slash get loot that I love, but it's fun as hell. Speaking of nerdy shit, you finished watching Battlestar finally.
Yeah, so the real quick...
I not finished watching it,
yeah,
by the way.
Obviously.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Neither is
Please.
Al. So
okay.
spoiler-free. No, spoiler-free. I'm just going to say that the ending that so many people seem to hate on really hard is
mm-hmm.
not that bad. It's, I mean, we went in with very low expectations for the
right.
ending, I guess, which may have helped. But I think the thing is they did, a really good job of tying up most of the loose ends. You know, like, the story all kind of really came together
mm-hmm.
in, like, an overall arc that I think was cool. The last episode or the last part, you know, of the last, it was like a 3-part episode. The last part is basically, you know, cheesy wrap up. You know, it reminded me a lot of Lord of the Rings.
Okay, all right.
In that sense, that you have
right.
this sort of like big climax.
It's like
all
everyone
this stuff.
Knows it's going
you could
to
have,
end.
You could
yep.
have ended the story there and been like, ended. And it would have been like
but
sort
no,
of satisfying.
It's like they're milking the fact
well,
that it's like, hey,
I don't
want to
say milking
because
I don't
on
think it's
the
bad.
Chair, in the chair, right? You're saying goodbye to these characters. We
yeah.
want you to know
yeah.
that.
No, it
yeah,
it
it's
felt,
like they keep
it,
doing that.
But it was okay.
Yeah.
It was okay. You know, they kind of showed a little wrap up of like what everybody was doing
yeah.
and some stuff. The last like maybe couple minutes were a little heavy handed for my taste.
Okay.
And
right.
that's sort of an understatement. But I think that overall, like, I mean, it was a really satisfying series.
Yeah.
Anyone that says, like, don't watch it because the ending's so bad is a fucking moron because the series overall is great and the
yeah.
ending in no
right.
way, like, ruins it. It's not nowhere near as bad as something like Lost. Which
yeah, I've heard that...
I didn't even
I
hate that much, but...
Yeah, I haven't finished watching Lost either, but I've heard that if I'm going to finish watching either of them, Battlestar's the one to do.
Amazing.
Tell me about your Pauly Shore watching movies because I'm about to kick you in the junk for that.
Listen, son-in-law is straight up awesome. Fuck you.
You watch Encino Man?
Of course.
Yeah, nice.
We're digging the bottom of the barrel.
Yep.
In the Army Now.
In the Army Now. I forgot about that movie.
Lori Petty smoking
Did you ever
hot.
Watch? Did you ever
watch Tank Girl?
Did you ever watch Pauly Shore is Dead?
No. Yeah,
no?
I have it though. I burned a copy of
I've
it.
I've
never
seen
never
it.
Watched
either,
it.
But I thought it was a good idea.
I think Pauly Shore. I mean, it definitely is very, very clear upon
you know.
Watching these movies like night after night
yeah
there's something wrong with me and my wife
right.
but
yeah.
the bigger
I, you know
the bigger thing is Pauly Shore is just Pauly Shore like he's not a different character in anything
no
he plays Pauly Shore like,
right
why does he have a name
yeah
although he does have really rad names
yeah,
in
right.
most of the movies
it is pretty good yeah
you know one of them Crawl
right
one.
Yep.
What's his name in Encino Man, it's another good one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Both he and Brandon Fraser have good names.
Yeah, well, because it's short for...
I forgot.
Like, there's like,
it's been,
yeah, there's
you know,
some... I watched it last week. I already can't remember.
Yep.
But yeah, it's good. It's good. Pauly Shore, I mean, Pauly
yeah.
Shore is a one note, but it's a pretty ridiculous note.
As far as movies go, I think that the only stuff that we've been watching has actually been stuff that we know is really shitty, but like I think we might be willing to defend.
Yeah, Fire and Ice. We'll talk about Fire and Ice. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so I got re-inspired to watch it because it just came out on Instant Queue on Netflix, but also at Comic-Con, which I'll talk about a little later. I bought a portfolio of all the obviously this is not the original, but it's like limited edition lithograph of the original Franzetta pencil drawings that he used for the character design, and that you see some at the beginning title cards.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a set of all those. So I was like, yeah, I really got to watch this. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's very, very like late 70s, early 80s fantasy and animation. And like, it's just, it's, you know, kind of disjointed.
Oh, yeah.
And there's some really
weird
interesting looking stuff and some really terrible looking stuff. And
I gotta say that women move like you would expect they would if a Frazetta painting came to life.
There's a lot of gratuitous ass shots.
Yes, there are.
Like girls like diving into logs.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's
why are you
just like a Frazetta painting
in motion. Yeah, I mean,
you know? I mean, like, I can't knock that.
I mean, I'm not complaining. The problem is it's like weird getting boners from cartoons.
But it's rotoscoping, so someone, you know.
I tried to look up who it was, because I want to see, like...
Yeah, right? You want to see what's going on there.
Yeah, you know, for real. I mean, she's probably, like, 80 now or whatever, but, you know, hey, it's a cool thing.
I watched Dune, the 1984, you know, David Lynch Dune movie that I was pretty sure I disliked.
I think it's a good movie. I think it's a good movie. You just have to disassociate it from Dune.
Yeah, but if you disassociate it from Dune, then like it makes no sense.
But I mean, I think the thing is that it's you have to disassociate it from like being a retelling of Dune.
Right.
I guess, you know, because it completely fails at telling the Dune story.
It tells the Dune story for the first half, I think.
Well, I'm willing to say
that it's fairly accurate.
The first half of the Dune story is what sort of is like the basic.
It's kind of hard
it's
to
good.
That
yeah, it's
up.
Good.
Yeah.
It's good stuff, but Dune doesn't really become Dune until you get into the weirder,
really hard to tell in another format stuff.
Yeah. So, but I think it does a good exploration of some of the themes.
Yeah.
And sort of the ideas and this like kind of crazy, like tripped out vision of the universe.
Right.
Like it's almost as if somebody in like, you know, the Dune universe decided to make a movie about history and we're like whacked out and we're like,
Spice Melange.
Yeah, this is good. Yeah. Like I'm gonna do this, you know, it's like a takeoff of like a world that you know?
Yeah.
It's like sci-fi for like the Fremen.
Right, yeah. I've actually come around and I actually kind of like the movie now, so. Still would love to see a big Hollywood, serious budget version of Dune.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be cool if you
I
get
think
like,
it'd be
a,
awesome.
Like a Peter Jackson Lord of the Rings treatment.
Sort of. I mean, I would definitely split it into more than one movie.
Well,
I just mean
making it like a really true to the book.
Right. Yep.
You know, really well funding as much funding as you need to make this vision.
Right. I mean, it seems to me that, you know, we've done Lord of the Rings. I think that we can do Dune. Dune deserves it. I mean, I think it's clearly
Lord of the Rings is a much more straightforward story in terms of storytelling.
It is. I mean, definitely. There's some really hard to explain shit in Dune, but
plus
still,
internal monologue is always very
internal monologue is difficult.
Very awkward.
I give David Lynch credit for trying it though.
What the fuck was it that I watched where they invented a whole character just to be?
Oh, it was Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. That's right.
Game of Thrones. Yeah. We talked about
the whore.
That.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep.
She's the internal monologue.
Right. You
so
went
you're
to New York Comic
Con. Yeah. Talk about that real quick. I mean, it was great. I spent most of the time completely trash.
I would expect nothing less from you.
The superhero gay club dance party was all right.
Did it live up to the previous years or what? Because I saw you with Wonder Woman.
This had a lot more people dressed up.
Okay,
There was a drag queen Jessica Rabbit that was pretty impressive.
Okay, that sounds tough for a dude to do.
She was pretty big.
All right.
Tall. All
right.
Like bigger than me.
All right.
It was kind of cool. I was into it.
Nice.
I may or may not have wanted to make out with drag queen Jessica Rabbit.
Well, you know.
But yeah, there were definitely a couple of drag queens, and it was cool. And but it was good. It was definitely good. It's definitely good. I had a lot of fun. You know,
cool.
Had a lot of fun, and it ended in a very not even. I can't even. I'm not even going to.
You're not even going to say it.
Can't even talk about it on radio. Like, if you really want to know, you can ask about
it. Right.
But it ended very, very ridiculously.
All right.
But yeah, the whole Comic-Con was great.
Awesome.
I ran a shit ton of demos of Legend of Dritz. It was good. I will say that this year, I made note of the fact that two important things in my personal life here. Well, one of them is not important in my personal life. One of them led to the other. This year at Comic-Con, there were a real abundance of really attractive cosplayers.
All right.
Which is not usually the case.
It tends to freak me out as the cosplay. I've had some bad experience with cosplay.
Well, see, this is the other big thing that I realized, and this is a personal revelation here, that I definitely am into, like, dressing girls up, like, Rainbow Bright, and, like, just doing, like, not Rainbow Bright friendly things to them. Because...
Revelation.
That's,
yeah, a like, revelation, I mean, indeed.
Like,
sir.
I mean, I think I've always, you know, you always kind of like see like the hot Princess Leia's or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Like,
that's
hey,
the
like,
ultimate.
Well,
you know?
You're kind of, but you're kind of like, yeah, that's cool. But you don't really make the connection.
Right.
Whereas, like, you know, like I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm gonna hit up the costume store. Like, shit is gonna happen. Like, this is a thing. Like, I don't even give a fuck. Like, I'm not gonna act like I don't want girls dressed up like Alice in Wonderland. Like, I don't want to bang Snow White and Cinderella at the same time. Like, listen. This is a thing that I am fully embracing. I want to fuck every Disney princess at the same time.
What do you think is the hottest Disney princess?
The hottest Disney princess?
Yeah, lay it on me. I actually had this question asked to me at work recently. At work, of all places.
Let me think there. I mean...
I won't say where I work, but, you know, it's definitely like, you know, they like, give you the whole like sexual
complete,
harassment thing,
complete,
but it's like, yeah, throw that out
the
window.
You work at Complete Nutrition.
So anyway,
the hottest Disney princess. The hottest Disney princess is. I don't know. You know who I actually think is real hot? I saw a pinup of.
Okay.
Like she's kind of old in the movie.
Okay. All right.
But some,
okay.
You know how people do pinups and take off and stuff.
It's the witch from Snow White, right?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
That's really messed up, man.
How'd you pick that out?
I don't know. You said really old, and my brain immediately went to the witch from Snow White.
No, not from Snow White. Wait, no, not the witch from Snow White. You fucking sicko. God, no.
Why would you even think that?
What do you mean when she's old?
You said old. Don't die.
No. No, you pervert. No, the, I think her name's Maleficent.
Maleficent.
From Sleeping Beauty.
Maybe, oh, she got the horns?
Yeah,
but she transforms into the old woman.
Well, that's Snow White.
Snow White?
Snow White, the Snow White, she's pretty fair. She's maybe the second fairest in the land, right?
I don't know.
Well, what's your answer?
Ariel.
It's tough. I think it's Ariel. I think it's Ariel.
Fire.
I like the redhead.
She's
you know?
Way too girl
I like
next
the redheads,
door.
You know?
Way too girl next door.
You know what? She can't speak for most of the movie either, which is
perfect. Oh, God, Josh. Josh. I apologize, ladies. You can whisper in my ear anytime you like. I'm more of a Gaston. I like Gaston. He's up my alley.
We just rewatched the Beauty and the Beast.
His hair is terrible.
Good.
His hair is terrible.
He's not very attractive.
His body is kind of the type I'd be in. I like, though.
So. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yep.
No Prince Valiant. That dude's a bitch. I don't want his, like, manicured twinkness.
No.
I need muscles.
Muscles.
Chelsea Gym Rats. What's up? But, yeah. I mean, I think I might go... Cinderella, maybe.
Okay, all right.
Classic. Snow White is really
maybe.
You know?
Sure.
I don't know. It's tough. It's tough. Which actually segues into the next thing that I'd like to rant about for a minute here, and that is Kickstarter. I went off on a real long ranty rant about it, I think, last time we recorded and it got cut.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll try to keep it succinct, but the short of it is that Kickstarter is really a terrible thing for the hobby. It lets all kinds of fucking charlatan half-ass, like, I've been playing this game in my garage for 10 years. It's, like, totally the best game ever. You don't even understand how good it is, man. Games, like, to steal money and resources and time and energy and interest and attention from legitimate things. There's enough real games getting published by publishers that have been play-tested and edited and vetted for, you know, quality that completely suck balls. That, you know, I don't need my radar clogged up every 5 seconds, like, every fucking 2 minutes. It's like, new Kickstarter, man, it's like a deck builder, only this time it's chimps. Like, whoa! We're gonna make Stoner Dominion. Like, no one cares. It's not real. Like, Just, you know, there's a reason.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's so many independent small publishers.
Yeah.
And there, you can be a small independent publisher when you're actually spending your own money.
Mm-hmm.
You actually care more about making a quality product.
Right. Well, you would think.
I'm saying you care a little bit more. You care a little bit. You try, though. You try. Whether or not it turns out.
Could be Steve Jackson Games. And
whether or not it turns out to be a quality product.
Yeah.
When your money's on the line, I think you put a little bit more of yourself into it. And, you know, there's so many small publishers that it's not like it's impossible to find someone who believes in your game if it has any value to it.
Right.
I mean, you look at the only real Kickstarter successes were things that were in talks to be picked up by real publishers or just were immediately picked up by real publishers once they were sort of seen. And, you know, it's not like these games would have not seen the light of day.
Right. I think Alien Frontiers would have been published by somebody eventually because I think that it's a quality game. And, you know, its quality has obviously been recognized. However, I you know what? I hear what you're saying. You're absolutely right that it does kind of open the door for a lot of real shitty games that just because Alien Frontiers had such a success, everyone, like, jumps on Kickstarters thinking, like, oh, shit, this could be the next Alien Frontiers. I don't want to miss it. But, no, that's not the case, you know? But at the same time, with the Kickstarters that I've been involved in or played other people's, you know, copies of, I've been pretty satisfied, you know?
Isn't this
as anything else.
Isn't this fucking zombie game? Wasn't this a Kickstarter eaten by zombies?
I think it was, but
that's
it was going to be published anyway.
Yeah, that's bullshit. You're a real game.
No,
you're a real game by an actual publisher.
No,
like,
I get that.
Be published.
No, like, I get that. Like, I get that. I mean, it's like you said, though, eaten by zombies. It's a deck builder, and it's about zombies. Cash-in. What else is a cash-in?
I guess.
Kickstarter.
Well, it's like the Housatonic.
Oh, the Miskatonic University for Girls?
What am I talking about? Yeah.
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 Oh,
I saw
let
that
me
one.
Raise 35 grand, like, by doing some nonsense.
Eh. Imperial Space, or Imperial Crusade Armada is a project I'm currently backing. In fact, I've contributed to it.
I'm not saying...
not contributing money-wise, but I mean, like, you know, as far as the rules go. And I think it's a great game. I printed it out. I have the print-and-play version. I played it, and I think it's
Yeah, but don't you
it's
think
awesome.
Don't you think it's possible for them to, like, find a real publisher?
With the game as it is now, no. Because its artwork is not great.
Well, you go to a real publisher, they're going to commission
somebody for it. I know they are. But, I mean, like, at the same time, I get what the guy's trying to do. He wants the artwork to be like that. The artwork looks like Space Fleet Battles. You know? Where you have, like, this white card, and here's a silhouette of your ship, and then here's a bunch of colored grids.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It looks like that. Only, you know, it plays, like, in 20 minutes to an hour. You know? It doesn't take all day.
Yeah, I just, you know, I think
it's a fun game.
I think that the cream will rise to the top. And that this is
it will eventually,
created,
yeah. But I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting element to the hobby that's new. So I mean, whether or not it's a bit of flash in the pan or, you know, here to stay, time will tell. But you know, the cream will rise to the top, and it has so far. So it's just another step. If people want to waste their money on a piece of shit, who are we to?
Oh, they
say,
do. I mean, already.
I know, but I mean, like, who are we to tell them not to do that?
Yeah, I think the signal to noise ratio is just not just fucks that up even more, makes it worse, and you know I don't you know whatever.
Let's talk some emails.
You're on Kickstarter.
Let's talk some emails.
Ugh.
We're doing something new.
There's a new segment. New segment on the Fratcast.
We've been trying to do it for a while.
Yeah, I remembered yesterday to solicit some listener emails.
Yep.
So we got three.
We got three good emails here.
Three, so thanks
I've
to you guys.
I've read one of them. One of them immediately caught my eye.
So we can start with that one.
Try to guess what that is after I read them all. No, I'm going to read them in order.
Okay.
I'm going to read them in order.
That's good. I put them on there in the order I got them in.
Yeah,
so.
That's good. So you want me to say who this is from?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you contributed to the show. We should say who you are.
This is from Bullwinkle. This is here. I'm going to throw this out there that this was I'm stealing this from the Joystick podcast way back in the day. It's a little brush with fame.
Yeah, brush with fame. submit your emails, your questions to us, and we'll say your user handle on the internet's sportsfan69420@AOL.com.
Mad Blunts.
Mad Blunts. Right. Leonard or Leo.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I don't remember.
Ninja Turtles.
No, but Bernie's.
Oh, B-Styles.
B-Styles. His Leonard McNelson or some bullshit.
Yeah, Leon McNichol.
Leon McNichol. How did you remember that?
Because I'm on top of things.
Way more wasted than I am. So...
So listener email, number one.
This is from Bullwinkle.
Also, by the way, if you do send me one, send a real name, please. Like,
yes,
come on.
Please.
Come on, Bullwinkle. I feel like you're an adult. I know you're an adult.
I want you. I'm seeing his avatar ask us this question.
Yeah.
Question for the Fat Cast.
You have to talk like Bullwinkle. Can you do that? Hey there, Fat Cast.
Question for the Fat Cast. What are you going to do with all that junk? All that junk inside your trunk? I didn't read this before now, but...
You're immediately regretting
using that voice for that.
Also, for a future reference, if we get more than three emails, like things like this are not going to make the cut, guys. So step up your game a little more.
By the time that we get to this as well, I mean, like, the state that we're in, make your emails three words or less, please. Thank you. Three words or less.
Well, do we have an answer for that? My answer is I'm going to back that thing up.
Back that thing up?
What about you, Josh?
I was gonna say pretty much the same, back that thing up.
Alternate answer? Bring all the boys to the yard.
Yes. I would do that as well.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
That certainly is a thing that happens.
Moving on.
This one is from Billy Z, our friend Billy Z.
Yeah. Fellow Greek man.
Podcast question.
So we got a few.
This one's for me. This one's for me.
Parts.
Yep, multiple parts. Much like Matt Lerner. Dear Josh, what does Loader look like naked? Why did I say that like Samuel L. Jackson in Pulp Fiction? You know, what does Marcellus Wallace look like? What does Loader look like naked? And is it wrong that I thought he looked kind of good dressed up as Little Red Riding Hood? So Matt recently posted a picture on Facebook of himself.
You can post it
on the show notes. We'll do that.
We'll post
it in there.
I got a series.
Dressed as Little Red Riding Hood.
A series of costumes this holiday season.
Oddly enough, I've not seen Matt Loader naked, and I'm shocked because I spent a fair amount of time with this man, and he has a reputation, you know... for being naked, or at least exposing himself to those around him while drunk. Not sure who this one's for. Dare? Who's this? Dare.
W.D. Grant.
Who's that?
W.D. Grant. I don't know.
I don't think I know that.
He's kind of like a suave guy. He posts on the reg.
Yeah. Oh, does he have like some dude like posing?
Yeah.
It's like a black and white picture.
Yeah, all right.
He's a dude.
We were talking
Dune the other day.
I have no idea how to say his name because we're dicks.
Yeah, right. Do you guys read any non-superhero comics? Anything out there that blows your socks off? My pickings have been a little slim lately, and I wouldn't mind hearing what you guys say. My current favorites are Vertigo's Unwritten and Marvel's or Icon's Criminal. If you haven't read either, you should check them out in trade. I've not read either of those.
Josh,
however,
I'm throwing it out there real quick that I think next time I should do more of the reading. You got a little hooked on phonics thing, like...
What?
Gotta get a little
dry. Did you hear the voice that I used in Bullwinkle's?
Bullwinkle was great. Well, that's why you started high, but then this one was a little more dense.
Just, yeah,
you felt a little.
I should have gone because he's a classy guy.
Yeah.
Do you guys read any non-superhero comics? He's like Sam Eagle.
Exactly.
Is what
it's
he sounds
good.
Like.
It's good.
Sam Eagle.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. Decent and outstanding comics. Anything out there that blows your socks off? Why am I rereading it? So anyways, we've already talked Walking Dead.
Yeah, we talked Walking Dead. I mean, non-superhero.
Yep, we both love
non-superhero,
Walking
basically.
Dead.
I mean, are we talking about, like, digging into the vaults, or are we talking currently published things?
Currently published things, or, well, you know what, let's
do
both.
Digging into the vaults really quick and easy. I mean, obviously some of it is superhero-related, but anything Alan Moore, done.
Yeah, right. I mean, he doesn't always write superhero stuff.
Yeah, it's plenty of non-superhero stuff. It's
mm-hmm.
awesome.
I think I would say that League of Extraordinary Gentlemen isn't superhero.
That's borderline.
It's borderline, but
I mean
still,
like
it's not
from
really
hell.
Superhero. From Hell,
clearly,
yeah.
Clearly not
terrific
a superhero.
Non-superhero book. Disney comics
yes.
are by and large awesome. Maybe by and large, but you know what? There's a couple of really huge highlights when it comes to Disney comics. Carl Barks.
Obviously. Well, I was going to say...
Read it.
Just came out the second volume, I think, recently, of the... what's his name? Don... The other
guy that tackled DuckTales. Life and Times of Scrooge McDuck.
Life and Times of Scrooge McDuck.
They're on my Amazon wish list. You can find that by searching for Josh Look on Amazon.com.
I started reading some. Yep. And, they're also on my wish list because I would love to own them.
Yeah, I need those books.
Good.
They're really good.
So good. New Donald collection.
I'm reading the... Yeah, yes.
Don Rosa.
That's the guy.
Right?
Yep. Carl Barks' Donald Duck comics are coming out, too, now.
Yeah.
By the same people who put out the Mickey Mouse books, which I just picked up. The old Mickey Mouse comic strips from the 30s. Really great stuff. They read more like these epic, constantly... changing, lots of cliffhangers, like Indiana Jones pulp adventure stories that are awesome. Really? Yeah. Mickey carries guns. He'll have a drink. He might have a smoke. For a full week, he tried to kill himself. Mickey Mouse tried to commit suicide because Mickey had fallen for some city slicker mouse who came in, and he felt she spent too much time with him. So he tried to off himself for the whole week, and it always ended in this humorous failure. Really not the Mickey Mouse that we've come to know, but really awesome stuff. And those books are really great. You can get both of them for like $30 on Amazon. In hardcover, they're gorgeous, gorgeous reprints.
Was it Blam? Blam is who's doing it?
No, it's I think it's called... Fantasmagraphics or something like that.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought it was Boom or something. Like
Boom does a lot of Disney stuff.
Okay.
But this is someone else.
Blam.
Yeah. Boom. Boom does some really great comics.
Yeah, whoever's doing the Scrooge stuff is doing it. It's like I looked it up. Yeah. They're like Boom is like an imprint of Disney.
I think that they were started by Mark Waid actually, Boom Studios. Yeah. And Mark Waid's pretty legit. Never read anything by Mark Waid I didn't like.
So that'll do it for this episode of the Fat Casts, number four. If you can fucking believe that.
If you can count.
Seems like we've done a lot more.
It does. Well, we've done specials.
Yeah. That's good. So no interview this time.
No.
Maybe we'll have somebody next time.
Maybe.
Thanks for listening. It's Matt Loader, Josh Look, the Fat Cast.
Till next time.
Stay gold, Pony Boy.
You've been listening to Fat Cast. You can find us on the web at fortressat.com.
I'm Josh Look, and I'm just going to finish this right now.
You got it. You're the one that does the, you do the, like, it's a show where we talk about bullshit.
Yeah.